The original Great American Rockabilly Riot will take over El Paso County Coliseum over the Labor Day weekend. The festival will be headlined by Seminole psychobilly band Tiger Army. Today, we get to check in with Nick 13, lead singer of Tiger Army. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you very much.
Well, Nick, we're so excited to talk to you, and we're excited that you're coming back to El Paso, and this time on a larger stage, because you've been here a couple of times before.
We have. We played last year. The name of the club escapes me, but definitely a small venue. And I think the only other time we played in El Paso was back in 2004. We were supporting Social Distortion on a tour at that time.
Well, let me tell you, I remember seeing you before that, and it was probably 2000, and it was in a small club called La Tuya. And I don't know if you remember this, but you were playing on the stage. Somebody was being rowdy, or I don't remember what they were doing, and you punched him out, and you kept playing. Do you remember that at all? I remember that.
Oh, that's right. That was our first appearance in El Paso.
Yes.
How could I forget? Yeah, there was a skinhead who basically wanted to fight me. Very small club, no security in sight, of course. Kind of a similar experience to probably what a lot of the DIY trailblazers dealt with. You know, when you read about bands like Black Flag on tour in the 80s and things like that. Very small DIY venue, and if there's a problem, you sort of had to defend yourself because no one was going to help you out.
It was magical. I mean, as somebody in the audience, it was, you didn't skip a beat either. You know, the guy was doing his thing, and you just kept on playing, and he disappeared.
Yes.
So it worked. Well, now that we got that out of the way, you're playing psychobilly, a mix of punk and rockabilly. How did you arrive at that sound?
Well, to me, it's sort of a continuum that's just a part of American roots music. You know, of course, in the 50s, you had things like rhythm and blues and bluegrass that were the first things to, you know, sort of congeal into the rockabilly style around 1954. And, you know, all of that early rock and roll was a huge influence on the original 1970s punk, both out of the States and in Britain. So I was listening to things that I, you know, went backwards and got inspired by. For example, hearing the Sex Pistols' Great Rock and Roll soundtrack, I really loved their covers of Eddie Cochran, and that's what inspired me to go backwards and check out Eddie Cochran, who then became an influence in himself. I just finished reading the book put together by John Doe about the history of the early Los Angeles punk scene, and it was really interesting to me because X obviously had, you know, that connection running through the music as far as American roots music and punk. But it was interesting to see that a lot of other people in Los Angeles in the late 70s and early 80s were on that same wavelength. So I always saw early punk as just sort of an amped up version of 1950s rock and roll. And it's funny because El Paso was sort of a musical influence on our latest record. I wrote a book called I Fought the Law, The Life and Strange Death of Bobby Fuller by Miriam Haskell, the original drummer of the Cramps. And I knew of Bobby's music to a certain degree, but I didn't know about the El Paso years. You know, that was fascinating to me, how he was completely DIY. He was writing and recording his own music, putting out his own records. He even had his own club, DIY club, in El Paso, you know, before he came out to Los Angeles and made it with his hits, such as I Fought the Law. I thought there were some really interesting connections there. And going back and exploring his music prior to his being nationally discovered, some of that stuff was an influence on our latest album.
And you can hear that. You know, you talk about Bobby Fuller, and then you hear that kind of Del Shannon vibe with a Prisoner of the Night. And here, you know, we're very much home to, like, classic oldies. And you're right, the punk thing and the country thing, and it all kind of comes together in this very beautiful package. Did you discover those sounds? Is it influenced from your parents or anything, or is it just from the punk and that all kind of diluted out?
I would say it's something that started in the home. My father grew up in Brooklyn, New York. You know, he saw Buddy Holly at the Brooklyn Paramount, one of the Alan Freed, you know, rock and roll shows in the 50s. So he was always a Buddy Holly fan. He turned me on to Buddy Holly as a kid, and that was stuff I was listening to alongside punk in, you know, like junior high. And, you know, there's a doo-wop influence to a certain extent on the new record. That's something that came from artists like Dion and the Elegance that I heard growing up, again, from my dad.
What about your influence? I saw you wrote a song in Spanish, Hechizo de Amor. Why did you choose Spanish? Where's that influence coming from?
Part of it, I think, is just living in Southern California. You know, I grew up in Northern California, but Southern California culturally is just a different thing. I'd always wanted to do a song in another language. I think that goes back to, I'm a big Beatles fan and was growing up, and the singles they did for the German market, where they recorded versions of songs like I Want to Hold Your Hand in German, I always thought that was a cool idea to do a song in another language, and Spanish is really the only language I have any familiarity with. So, but it's funny because the particular idea to do that song in Spanish came to me in a dream, and I woke up and realized, oh, that's something I need to do. And, you know, while the album was in pre-production, so that's what happened.
Okay, so you've dropped a lot of books. What are you reading right now?
I'm always reading a few at once.
Really?
You know, I might be reading some fiction. I'm always reading nonfiction about music, and be it about producers, genres I like, bands I like. I'm just finishing a book by James Elroy, Perfidia, which is sort of a prequel to his L.A. Quartet series, of which people would probably know L.A. Confidential and the Black Dahlia. I'm reading a book about the Cramps right now, and probably a couple other books that, you know, are somewhere lurking in my house.
I hear ya. Would you ever consider writing a book?
Yeah, you know, writing fiction has definitely been an interest of mine for some time. You know, years ago I would write more in the short story format, although I rarely finished anything.
Well, songwriting is kind of, I mean, you're writing really short poems, kind of.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, it's something that, you know, music is and has been my focus for many years, but it's something that I wouldn't rule out for the future.
All right, one more question before we wrap up. What do you listen to when you're not playing music?
You know, I listen to all sorts of things. Music from decades past is always a source of inspiration. It's amazing how much music is out there and has been recorded, and that even if you think you really know about a period of time or a genre, there's always something new out there to discover. You know, I search for new music as well. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Lana Del Rey, actually. A friend of mine turned me on to it. It's not something I thought I'd be into, but there's actually a sort of a retro vibe and some of the songs that appeals to me, while it's still modern at the same time. I just actually got into Jay Retard, who passed away in recent years, and I guess the descriptions of his music that I heard didn't do much for me, and then when I actually heard the music, it was completely different than what I expected. So I'm pretty into that at the moment as well. And then, you know, all sorts of 1950s, 1960s rock and roll, garage, surf, you name it.
The stuff that never gets old.
Exactly.
Okay, I lied when I said one more question. I just want to ask you, you know, if you have or your outlook on the border. I mean, you've been to El Paso a couple of times. You obviously tour a lot. You've seen lots of places. What do you think about the border?
Well, it's definitely a fascinating place. There's a lot of amazing history in the Bobby Fuller book I mentioned, about how there were all these sort of rock and roll clubs in Mexico that had been built during Prohibition for people to go over the border and drink, and then were basically just, you know, sort of large established nightclubs that teenagers like Bobby Fuller would go to and hang out at in the, you know, 50s and early 60s. So El Paso is a, you know, a fascinating place to me, and I learned so much about it from reading that book. At the same time, I know it can be a dangerous place, unfortunately, if you're over the border. But yeah, it's a fascinating city with a fascinating history.
Well, good. I hope you have time to be curious enough. You know, a lot of the guys that played with Bobby Fuller are still around. Some of them do sound here in town. You might just run into Red Crosby at the show, actually.
And oh, well.
Yeah. He does sound here around town. He still plays in bands. He puts together a big El Paso show and reunites all those bands once a year. It's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I would love to speak with some people from that time about those years. It wasn't just Bobby Fuller as well. There's a series of compilations of, you know, rock and roll and garage rock from around that time, things that were on 45s, that I think I have about four volumes of, that's called El Paso Rock and Roll. So there's a really thriving scene there, and it's interesting to me the ways in which, because it was isolated, you know, there wasn't necessarily that commercial pressure, and people could really do their own thing and come up with some interesting things.
Yeah, and that's the truth even now. You know, bands like At the Drive-In is probably the biggest band in recent times to come out of here, kind of had that, the isolation as that incubator. And then something, I don't know if you knew this, but Paul Simonon from The Clash spent some time here in El Paso, kind of as his running away type years. So I don't know if it's written anywhere, if he wrote, you know, any kind of book, but I think you'd find that one interesting too.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that. That is interesting.
Yeah. He came out and hung out. Well, I can't thank you enough. Today, my guest has been Nick 13 of the psychobilly band Tiger Army. They will be headlining the Great American Rockabilly Riot here in El Paso over the Labor Day weekend, and you can get your tickets at Ticketmaster now. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you.